This is Philosophy versus Improv, where two sages try to teach each other a thing or two, and maybe you, the audience, get something out of it as well.
This is Mark Lintzemeyer singing the praises of philosophy today.
And this is Bill Arnett dancing the song that is improvisation, interpretive dancing, the song.
Yes. Okay. And we have, this is a team play episode. Cole, introduce yourself.
I'm Cole Nostrella. I suppose I'm tending my own garden.
All right. And
I'm Chris Rathjen, and I'm manning the watchtowers.
Wow. I feel like we're covered all the way around.
Yes.
Thank you, both of you, for coming back. We only allow return guests to experience this heightened experience. It's a little too intense, I think, if it's your first time.
Yeah.
To be in the soup with so many elements. Mm-hmm. So many. It's like you're in an alphabet soup, and not only are there the regular letters, there are Greek letters. What are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that? You got a theta floating next to you?
Yeah. Yes, you survive the middle school dance that is your first appearance. And, you know, who likes whom? And now it's time for the freshman year, now it counts dance.
So uncomfortable.
Yep.
So the way the format works is Bill has probably thought of some sort of improv lesson or will come up with one on the fly. I've discussed with Cole, our philosophy guest, her idea that we're not going to tell you right up front. We're going to gradually sneak it in. And then at least by the end of, 15 minutes, it'll be clear enough.
Okay.
Wait, did we ideas were floated.
I think since then you were ill. So maybe the
fever.
Well, I mean, do you think, does philosophy get helped by illness?
I mean, I'll say some of the best improv feels like a fever dream. So I feel like we're all right.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it advances any cause I'm interested in advancing. That was a bad time for all involved.
I mean, that comes up, though, doesn't it? When people are like, LSD, you know, it opens your mind. It makes you a better writer or thinker, you know, like.
I do like Spock philosophy.
Dr. Spock? Or
yeah, like I'm an analytic philosopher.
Mr. Spock. When did he become a doctor? Damn it, Bill. He's not a doctor. Wow. He's a mister.
If you don't believe that Spock had a PhD, I don't know what to tell you.
Well, I think all of the Vulcans have PhDs, so yeah. They don't make the distinction between doctors and regular citizens.
It is not logical to call me doctor if I just have a PhD. It could be confusing to someone if there's a medical emergency and they'll call on me.
Exactly. They're avoiding the airplane problem.
That was the worst Spock I've ever heard.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I shouldn't accept the apology, but we'll just leave it out there.
So what is the Mr. Spock philosophy? Is that...
I referenced him because I mostly do like logic and analytic philosophy. Okay. As
and abstain from chemicals.
LSD. Well, I didn't say that. It's just not part of my academic career, my job, right?
Fair enough.
So yeah, I keep them bifurcated pretty well, if that needs to happen.
Okay.
It's just in the circumstances in which Spock is... What was it? He's on some planet and... I don't know if there's a plant involved, and he gets really groovy. He like gets way more groovy than he would have gotten if he was just like a normal express your emotions kind of fellow in the first place. Like there's dangers. You're suppressing something that is going to come out.
I'm blanking on the name. It's this little fluff creature that makes you horny. I believe that's what you're talking about. Tribbles. There it is. I'm sorry.
I didn't think this was a Tribble episode, but we don't have to...
Okay.
I don't want to go down a rabbit hole here, but Tribbles do not make you horny, or unless that is your particular
predilection
area of interest. Yes.
Just shot in the dark there. I was trying to figure out what that might have
been. You probably know the name of the episode that I'm referencing, though, Chris. Then
I know the one. It does involve spores. I actually feel a little guilty. I cannot recall the name of the classic series episode. I believe it was in the third season. That's when
the Trouble with Tribbles.
The Trouble with Tribbles is the Tribble episode.
Yeah, yes. That's the one I messed up and inserted.
Oh, you're talking about the plant.
This is called like the Trouble with Spock's balls or something like that, because you know they got to come out.
Gross.
He's got needs.
Gross.
That's what spores do.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. Okay.
How have you been, Chris?
I've been good. I guess mostly what I do these days is I stop myself from going into long digressions about Star Trek episodes when I hear them referenced in passing. That's
wise.
That's a habit of mine now, a hobby.
Well, I remember that one where Archer and Picard got together and they were eating out of a picnic basket.
That didn't happen. No.
Oh, really? You're going to respond to that one? Okay.
All right. Yep. You got me. Well done. Philosophy. Point for philosophy. Yes.
Well, that was very sharp of you, Mark, just to go right in for the kill. What are the nails on the chalkboard to a Star Trek fan? You know, what's really going to get their hackles up? Something that didn't happen and breaks canon so egregiously, that will always get a reply. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I've been well. It's good to be back. Just enjoying the lovely Chicago weather these days. So.
And what philosophically has it given rise to in you, oh man, who is the improv expert here, but yet dabbles in this area?
What has the weather done?
What is the weather?
I don't know.
Inspired in you or recent events, illnesses? What thoughts of are you being unto death? Are you just tell us where you're at philosophically at this moment to help us.
I'm looking to the future a lot right now. My sister is engaged to be married. So a lot of my thoughts are on, you know, the continuity of existence and the circle of life. And even in these dark, snowy times, I know that spring yet waits.
There you go, Cole. That's philosophy. You might not have heard about philosophy, but
I haven't. Not that.
Well, tell us a little, Cole, about the sorts of if one is approaching philosophy and say, I do philosophy. I have a philosophy. It's like always be a hard ass. That's my philosophy. What's a good way of no. As a trained academe, how you start the lay person on the road to enlightenment?
Generally, I'll ask if they could be wrong. Could they be mistaken? So, I mean, and usually the answer is, well, yes, I could be mistaken. And then I like to ask how they would know if it were the case that they were mistaken. So
Chris, could you be mistaken, Chris, that your sister is getting married? Maybe she is lying to you.
I could be mistaken about that. I thought I was going to be asked, could I be mistaken that spring yet waits? And I would be shocked.
Mm.
There'd be a whole host of other problems if I turned out to be wrong about that.
Perhaps spring isn't waiting, but is trying to escape.
It certainly is not putting forth much of a showing at the moment. No. But yes, my sister could be lying to me about her engagement. And I'm, in fact, not going to a wedding shower this weekend because I am, in fact, a brain in a jar.
That would be a radical version. It's certainly less dark than where my mind went, like the reasons this wedding might not come about or something like that, what you're anticipating in the future of reasons why that might not occur. Yeah, maybe you're a brain in a vat. That's possible as well.
But aren't we all brains in very complicated biological vats?
Now you're being semantic.
So you gotta look on the wedding invite. Two things. If it says two... If the address is to Brain and Vat, that is a total giveaway.
There you go.
And then the other one is if the date of the wedding says when spring comes and nothing, no further details, I think there's some issues.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the postcode for that?
Brain and Vat. Well, there's a 5. That's the V. A 1 for the A. I don't know what the T is.
Yeah. I thought we were going to get involved with the Greek alphabet.
By all means, oh yes, bring in your professional capacity here.
Oh no, I don't want to do that. That sounds awful.
Well, is there a Greek V? I don't think there's a V. Right?
I don't know that there is.
A U, I mean, it would be
Upsilon, oops, Upsilon, and Veda. That's probably a...
Mm-hmm. That sounds right.
Hey, is it possible that we mistranslated some of the wisdom of the ancients? I know I ask about the ancients a lot, but I mean, you know, how often does someone like a new translation come out and they're like, you know what? Socrates actually said, do harm to other people. I don't know, maybe not so ridiculous, but I mean, how often does it occur that there's a reassessing of the ancients?
I mean, probably I don't know if I can give you the exact frequency, and I don't like the ancients very much at all, but I can tell you that there is a not unpopular theory that Socrates just didn't exist. Like, that dude's not a dude. He didn't exist.
Okay.
He's a character that Plato uses. And it actually seems like, in my estimation, for somebody who doesn't like the ancients, and definitely was way out of my area of expertise, I think it's probably the case that certain writings are definitely the Socrates character, not an actual human being, while other writings are most likely from memory of his comings and goings, chasing people down the street, trying to have conversations. That's what he's doing in all of them. He's just chasing people down the street, demanding they have conversations with him. And they're running away. He always, when he encounters his interlocutors, they're like, oh, let's get out of here. It's that guy. So I don't know. Is that real? Is that not? I'm not sure. I think probably half and half.
I don't know if he could have been as convincingly depicted in Tarantino's Star Wars Part 4. I mean, Star Trek Part 4, if he hadn't been a real person.
Wow, you're fishing for it, Mark.
See if
you're fishing.
Chris is resisting. He's resisting.
Star Wars was the real mess up there.
Yeah. I kind of ruined my own. I was hoisted on some petard. I mean, not mine.
Yeah.
I'm not defensive of Star Wars in the slightest. Get all of that wrong. Go ahead.
But is the idea of having a literary character, is that, had literature technology advanced enough to pull that off?
I mean, theater technology was baller.
Well, I know, but you know what I'm saying? It's just like,
but all their plays were supposedly based on historical personages, and it didn't seem like they wanted to come up with new characters.
Unless you're subscribing to these Greek gods being real and these being their actual activities, you're going to have a hard time saying they didn't come up with characters.
I mean, what does a Greek god need with a spaceship? What does a Greek... Sorry, that's... The Star Trek references
Star
are going to keep,
they're
gonna keep rolling in.
Blake 7, Season 2, Episode 1.
There we go.
So it seems like we've built a lot of ground here to start an improv scene. So many rich ideas flowing through the veins of this collective group.
I do have a bit of an improv lesson. I'm trying to see how it... Wow, this whole idea. Is it even real? Wow. I'll just go ahead and get this thing rolling. And I'm going to say... I will be providing a ton of information, but just maybe not the information you were expecting, Mark and Cole, if that makes sense.
I have no expectations.
Awesome. Are we good, everybody?
Very good.
So I tell the guy, I said, why don't you just leave all that food outdoors? Okay. Just leave the catering outside and we'll see what happens.
You get bears. You do that. You know, you don't want to leave the food outside. Why would you tell him that?
Well, I was being sarcastic.
Oh.
I mean, what did he say?
He said, oh, sorry, I'll bring it in.
I mean, sarcasm is just kind of mean.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not careful about it.
It was an upcharge for setup that I didn't know about. How am I supposed to know you got to pay extra to set things up?
No, it ended up looking great. I mean, it looks great, what I would say.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're wondering whether your money was worth it, that's not a hang up, then, you know, whatever. But the money was worth it. It looks good.
Good. Awesome. We got wings. We got mini taquitos. We got tavern cut pizza. I mean, what else are we looking for here?
I mean, did he leave it outside?
No, he brought it in. That's why you see it inside right
now. Right. This is it here.
Okay, so this is
Are we waiting for everyone, or can I
think,
actually?
I think Cole's going to get here in a minute.
Okay.
I really don't want to be here.
She's here. She was hiding in the corner.
I'm confused as to why you thought bringing this inside was a good idea. It's a lovely day out.
Well, because we got to be inside. The beer's inside.
Why isn't the beer outside?
Because the taps are inside, okay? So look, we got this place until the game, through the game, after the game. Let's,
I mean, are you sure the game is happening?
Yeah, it should be. I don't know. Call the NFL. It's supposed to be happening.
I don't like to assume. I don't want to get my hopes up too high. I mean, these wings look good, but like, I don't know, you know, until I taste one, it might be too spicy.
So we can just, I can start.
Tuck in. Yeah, go crazy.
Okay.
Yeah, jump in.
These taps are all, you actually got it. They're all tapped and everything.
Oh yeah. They're ready to go.
Yeah. This is, I'm glad we did this. I'm very glad. Bill, I gotta be honest. It seemed a bit of overkill when you suggested it, but this is going to be quite nice.
Yeah. Because I know this guy. I don't know. He's a buddy of mine, Donald. And he's like, look, here's the thing. There's a guy who runs a bar. He owes me about $5,000. Can you believe it? Why does a bar owner suddenly owe this electrician $5,000? I didn't ask because I don't care. All right. I'm not going to ask questions about someone else's business. All right. But what I did see was an inn to try to leverage that, to try to get something for us to have a party. All right. So I goes to the guy and I tell him, I says, I understand you owe Donald $5,000. Is that true? How about I could make some of that go away? And he's like, who are you? So I launch into the whole thing, you know,
Bill, there's still food outside.
Huh?
Did you look out the window? There's more food.
The caterer was supposed to bring that in.
The caterer didn't bring it. I think he didn't understand the sarcasm. And you said, why don't you leave it outside? I'm sorry that I'm still stuck on that. That was the first thing you said. But I just feel like actions have consequences.
Wow. That bastard. He did that to me? He did that to me?
I mean, if you talk hurtfully to a service person, often they seek revenge. So I don't know. Until I taste the first wing, I don't know if he's done something to it, if he's, because of your criticism.
Well, I can say the taquitos are fine. Like, these haven't been sabotaged.
All right.
Confirmation there, but I'm hung up on, is the caterer also the electrician?
No. The caterer is another guy.
Well, how'd he get roped in?
Well, the caterer knows my wife. Pardon me, my ex-wife. Well, let's not go there.
Yeah,
okay.
She left the food outside.
Maybe. Oh, she spiked. You think she spiked it? You think she knew it was me making the order and she's, what you got, pastor?
You guys have made your peace, haven't you? She's not sabotaging your catering orders.
Maybe.
Still?
Maybe.
I just thought you were talking metaphorically that she kind of sabotaged your catering. I mean, pretty much the whole last 2 years of your life, that sort of catering order was sabotaged pretty thoroughly by her attitude.
Yeah.
It seems like you're leaping to conclusions there. I was just indicating that would be a good reason to divorce her. After all, you know, you seem to have left the food outside.
Well, she called my boss and told my boss that I was using the company printer to print out my novel.
Well, were you?
No, but I did write a novel. That's the tricky part. And I did leave copies of it around the office, but I paid for the printing at the print shop downstairs. But of course, the boss finds a bunch of copies of a pretty awesome sci-fi novel laying around the office, you know, 1,000 pages, single space. And they start thinking, maybe he's running off copies here at the thing, you know?
Maybe there's a genius here.
That seems like a reasonable conclusion to come to.
I'm just saying he wouldn't have thought it if my wife didn't tip her off. Okay,
she tipped him off to an event that didn't happen.
Correct.
So how's that tipping off?
I mean, it sounds like slander. I mean, you can send someone down the wrong road. Was there more to the order? Like,
maybe she was being sarcastic.
I mean, that is a problem. If I go outside, am I going to find just more of these taquitos, or was there more to the order?
Yeah, I'll go grab them. There should be a side salad and a pasta dish, but I'll go start hauling stuff in. And I know the guy's name. It's a black mark. It's a black mark. It's got a black mark in my book. We're going to leave it at that.
Some of the salad seems like it was strewn from the porch, kind of like an animal already got to it. I mean, we haven't been in here that long, but
I was going to eat salad anyway, to be perfectly frank.
Salad is sort of like your wife of the dinner. Not necessary. Is that okay to say?
Totally okay. High five. High five. Let me haul this stuff in. Give me a sec.
Did anyone actually crack open Bill's book?
I tried to read the first couple pages. It was, what'd you think?
It was the most thinly veiled Doctor Who fan fiction I think I've ever seen. It's just so obvious. I feel like it had its moments as like an exercise, but it's not getting published. I mean, we know that, right?
This is 1,000 pages of fan fiction for Doctor Who?
Very thinly veiled. Like, the names were changed.
I mean, it was the Mister, right? They called him the Mister. Like, hey Mister.
Yeah.
I got that out of the first page. That's how far I got.
There aren't too many more details. At a certain point, he does refer to himself as Mr. Mister, but that's clearly a dodge.
That just seems like a missed opportunity because you got the Doctor and you've got the Master. I would have at least hoped he'd go for the Bachelor.
Oh, that's great. That's smart. Yeah. Well, I mean, here's the thing. He is a bachelor. It is fanfic slash divorce fic. Yeah.
Might have been too on the nose.
The mister is not happy about the missus. Oh, here he comes.
Okay, y'all. I got good news and I got bad news.
What
the good news? Well, the good news is there's a whole other tray of wings the animals didn't get into. The bad news is I think the pigeons got into the ranch. So I'm not sure how much dipping sauce you all need for your wings. Me, I just go wing sauce. I don't need any.
Pigeons dipping themselves into the
ranch. But we do have the blue cheese. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, a bear will get it eventually. He'll eat a pigeon drenched in ranch.
Yeah, probably so. Probably so.
You know, I'm not much of a wings guy anyway. So the pizza and the taquitos are plenty for me.
Hey, you know, just thought it'd be cool with the bros getting, that's what we do, right? We drink beer and eat wings. Yeah, but no, hey, taquitos, no, pizzas, that's no, fine.
The wings are quite good. You should feel
all right,
a sense of accomplishment about the wings. I think you should.
All right.
Despite anything else that might have gone wrong for you recently, the wings are a thing that you did right.
It's an accomplishment. All right.
Yeah, yeah.
So the electrician.
Yeah, tell us more of that story, Bill. I feel like
I could go on. I could go on. It's just, so, you know, you're not supposed to use flexible conduit for any run over 4 feet. Did you know that?
I didn't.
Yeah, well, this electrician to try to cut corners was using that flexible conduit stuff for all these entire runs to do all these new overhead lights, apparently, you know. And, of course, the owner finds out that stuff's expensive, you know, and then it's not up to code, too. So you got him over a barrel, you know what I'm saying? And now we're here, you know, now we're here. And he opened up the taps for us. I know I can drink a lot of beer, but I don't know if you guys can keep up with me.
Is this building safe to be in right now? Maybe we should be outside.
The electrician ran wires over the barrels. Like,
Why aren't we partying? Why is the game not on? Why are we not chowing?
I'm kind of afraid to turn the television on. What's that going to do?
I mean, it's we've no reason to think we're in an unsafe building. I'll turn on the TV.
Do you want to wear I have an oven mitt. Do you want to wear the oven mitt while you can turn the TV on?
No, it's on. I just got to find the channel here. This is just, it's taken a minute to warm up.
Usually,
I'll find it.
Okay. Usually one uses a remote to turn on a TV. So it's not actually, even if the TV itself is electrified, you're not actually touching the TV. Like, you know, most TVs.
Look, the most dangerous thing right now is for the TV because my hands are covered in grease right now. So
I was expecting more people. Can I just be frank? I was expecting a lot more people.
Yeah. Did you invite Donald since this is his debt we're drinking off?
Yeah, I did. And the bar owner and everybody down at the shop and the next door. I'm cool, right, guys? I'm cool. I mean, I'm cool, right? People want to hang out with me, right? I mean,
you're very cool.
Yeah, we're hanging out now.
All right. Well, I just, you know.
And you don't have to be frank. You can just be you.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Did you want to tell us more of your stories?
Yeah. You know, I know a guy who does some stuff, you know. Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Well, I know a guy. Okay, I know a guy.
We can't get these stories from Doreen. You know, that's why I'm glad I ended up with you in the divorce. Like, mm-hmm. she's got no stories. What was the last time you heard her tell a story about, you know, conduits?
You're not going to hear it.
Does she know a guy?
I mean, she is like a Pulitzer winning journalist, so she tells stories literally all the time. But I mean, I understand they're not your stories.
They're not street stories.
They're not street stories. They're not. I mean, she actually wrote a really good thing about Somalia and the. But not your kind of street stories.
But like you get those. Yeah, those stories. Those stories are like edited to hell. Like, you know, so many fingers were on it. You don't know whose agenda. Like, you want that straight pipeline to the real truth. You know, if it's two pages or 1,000.
Speaking of which, I don't know if any of y'all had a chance to get eyeballs on my novel, but any feedback would be appreciated, you know.
I liked the beginning. It was really good. The beginning was,
that's where it starts.
Yeah.
That's where it starts.
Yeah,
that's
it's like it hear. All comes down. It's just one page at a time. That's just how you got to take life.
I like that.
I mean, I feel like there were decades worth of fresh ideas in there. Like, I'm fascinated. I'd love to get in your brain, figure out where all that stuff comes from.
Well, he knows a lot of guys. Mister knows a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He knows, because he knows, he has all of space and time to
think of all the people you could know. If you could travel through time, how many guys would you know?
I mean, loads.
Plenty. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very personal. It's very personal. It's a very personal story.
Is there any kind of like logical inconsistency you want to pull out here, Cole? It just seems like, he needs a little criticism. We're being so supportive.
I'm gonna be honest. I didn't read that. I'm sorry, man.
You didn't read it, or you didn't read that into it?
I didn't read it.
That's cool.
It is a massive undertaking. You know, just endeavoring to write a novel is an accomplishment in and of itself, I feel.
Thanks.
And just, even getting married in the first place is a really great accomplishment. It doesn't matter if it sticks.
Yeah.
Is that supportive?
Yeah. What was your hope for the novel?
It would just be awesome, and everybody would read it and love it. And hey, who is that guy? We should get to know that guy, Now here I am having a NFL playoff party, and there's nobody here, and the damn caterers leaving stuff outside despite me. And I find out my friends aren't reading my thing, and I don't feel cool.
It feels like if your goal was to have everyone read your novel, maybe a launch party for your novel would have been a better idea. Maybe something more goal directed to advance that purpose would have helped out. It's not that I don't appreciate this cornucopia of outside food. It's that it doesn't seem like it's really going to get you where you want to go.
We could have the launch party right now. We can make this the party. Do you want to read it?
I don't want to bring all that paper into this tinderbox.
I guess that's smart.
Yeah, let's do one thing at a time. Let's, appreciate a game, presuming that they have a cable subscription in this venue. I'm not really getting any signals on any of the channels here, but maybe I need to switch the mode. Maybe we just all need to switch our mode, everyone? Like, get into a different headspace. How would we even know what's going on in the game? We could listen to the game streaming, maybe. That's a thing we could do. We can't get this working.
Do you know a guy who can set that up? Or
we can listen on my phone. I've got unlimited data, grandfathered in on that like forever ago. They're always trying to talk me out of it. I won't.
Your grandfather, that's cool.
Yeah, I end up paying for texts, but it works out long run.
I hear the new guy that your wife is dating is really technically inclined. Maybe we can give him a call and bring him in.
He does owe you.
Yeah, I mean, he.
Do you know that guy?
No, we're not. We're not calling. We're not calling Brent. We can stop there. We can be done.
Oh, but wow.
Profoundly uncomfortable.
So interesting. Yes, Bill, you're saying you're giving us a lot,
but also not what you expected.
It's hard to react to someone when you don't quite understand. I mean, you understand the social stance that they're taking, being I'm telling a story.
Mm-hmm.
Is that all that's required to react to?
Well, it's this idea of what is going on. How much is the story and the plot points, which we are typically very good at doing, and how much of it is the people, the people that are going on. And we may have talked about this before a little bit, may have introduced this concept, Mark, but the idea that how important is it that Travis Bickle is a taxi driver?
I mean, it's the name of the movie. It's pretty important.
But I mean, what if Travis Bickle was an office mailroom guy? Could that movie still work?
No, then it'd be Bukowski.
It's the identity. What aspect of the story holds the identity of the story? Is it the plot points? Is it driving a taxi? Or is it the person who Travis Bickle is?
Does it have to be one of those things?
Yes, those are your two options.
This kind of seems like an emergent property.
And there's certainly interplay, and there certainly are aspects of driving a taxi that might reflect the personality of Travis Bickle and allow that to drive. It's that.
I hope that to drive was a pun.
It was. Okay. It was. And brilliantly played by me as well. And intended, yes. Or the dude, Jeffrey the Dude Lebowski. You know, how much is plot and how much is, like, if you swap those characters, you would have two different movies.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it is important that the dude is unemployed. That probably is an important bit of characterization.
Yeah. Or Spock. Like, how important is it that Spock is not only logical, but cold or perceived to be cold?
I think that's pretty clutch.
Yeah, I think so too.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to tease out whether this is just a preference that you're expressing for character-driven stories versus plot-driven stories.
Well, it's the idea. Yeah, I think people see plot first. Plot is easy to see. Children see plot in Dick and Jane stories. But it's character-driven stories and this idea of tragic flaws and all those things that are people-based that are just as powerful for telling stories, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I'll just say I don't know whether it was the right move. I do think it definitely grabbed the wheel and changed where the rest of the scene went. But I'm going to take credit for making you a pathetic character, Bill. Established you were failing at your goals and hung up on other things when you went to get the salad.
I think that's great.
I felt we needed something like that there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think the guy was a loser. He thought of himself as this cool, connected, you know, city guy, hotshot, but he's a loser. He's a loser.
I feel like we're just describing Donald Trump right now. I keep becoming overwhelmed by that, where the self-image doesn't match up with the the character we're seeing unfold.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No. It's like in our own lives. Unremarkable things happen in our own lives all the time, but they still get under our skin and we still have to tell people about it. You're not going to believe what happened. Here's this unremarkable thing that happened. Can you believe it? And it's like, it doesn't involve guns. It doesn't involve car chases. It doesn't involve aliens, but it still affects us, you know? And Mark is looking very confused right now. And very.
Oh, no. This is simultaneously to this, you setting up this tragic figure. I was trying to channel from my discussion with Cole some sort of starting to quibble, starting to look for logical inconsistencies, which mostly just came up with taking any metaphors you said too literally.
Sure.
But perhaps we are at the point where we can unveil, Cole, your idea that we came in here with. Do you even recall what that is?
I do. I couldn't really find a way to work that in. I think because maybe it was a terrible idea that I came in with, because the way we do think critically and analyze the information we receive is in large part with background information. And contextually, this is never really going to have any background information or context to work with, or at least it's ever shifting. So that's a struggle. But really, I mostly wanted to try to promote maybe a healthy skepticism or what I've called like the philosopher's toolkit.
Is it blockers toolkit or bluffers?
The philosopher's toolkit.
Oh, philosopher's toolkit.
Oh,
I mean,
I'm still congested. I do apologize. Okay,
no. it may have been a tech thing too. Yeah.
Yeah, the philosopher's toolkit. But yeah, there's, other than asking a lot of questions, there's not much one can do with that. My bad.
Let us not despair. Let us make the lemonade out of all the many lemons that are strewn around here. One of the things I was reading recently is Gabriel Marcel, a existentialist who writes about the difference between problems and mysteries, and thinks that like all the really important stuff, well, you could sort of try to break it down and, you know, use some technical jargon. But if it's something that involves your personal life that you're involved in, you're probably falsifying it just through the act of analysis in the first place. And so when encountering Bill, this depressed guy, to have some sort of intervention and confront him and like, let's make some lists. Let's try to fix your life or something. You know, it seems like, I'm not sure if this is entirely connecting to the idea of mystery as a thing that needs to be You know, you don't try to entirely unravel, let's say, the psyche of the person you're trying to fix. Does this even ring a bell, Cold? Is this connected at all? This is a way of saying maybe there's a time and place for the Philosopher's Toolkit, and this was not it.
Well, I mean, the end product of taking on that kind of posture in this kind of context is somebody just saying you did a really shitty job at achieving your goals. Can I swear?
Oh, yes.
I'm sorry. yeah. So like none of what you're doing is bringing about the outcomes that you're shooting for. But that just creates like now I'm the terrible character.
You could have been. You could have been.
I kind of was.
Could have been a lot worse. You could have been horrible.
I'll keep that in mind. But yeah, when you see somebody engaged in directly counterproductive activities because they're not really interrogating their own actions, I think maybe that's a good place where what I wanted to teach and share can triumph, because you do need to confront it directly and say, none of what I'm doing is bringing about the outcomes that I wanted. So neither writing the novel, nor getting a bunch of people together, nor yelling at a guy about leaving the food outside, just creating the entire scenario didn't seem to be satisfying in any way, or like it, even from its inception, was going to be productive for anyone involved. So sorry.
Chris, you looked like you you had a thought.
Well, I was just thinking that, like, if someone had engaged with Bill's character, who I know I just also named Bill for convenience sake.
That's fine.
I feel like that would not have been a cruel moment for someone to address and interrogate how he was living his life. Or it would not have been a crueler moment than what happened, which was nobody took the initiative to do that and just... it all went unsaid that he was failing. And instead of interrogating the situation, the knowledge that everyone here could feel the failure and the patheticness ended up being a much more oppressive feeling than if someone had just said, look, we came here because you're not doing well. Forget about the game. Let's talk about how to get you back on track.
Yeah.
That would have felt more respectful to this character than everyone just feeling terrible for him at this failure of a party.
The classic, hey, someone's deodorant quit and they stink. Someone should tell them. Not it.
I did in the end. I said I didn't read that book, and that if you wanted to promote the book, you should probably have thrown a launch party or something, or creating a writing or a reading circle, that sort of thing. So I tried there at the end, but there's a kind of patheticness that just really can't be addressed.
Okay. Who knows the mystery of why the Bill character would write the book? Perhaps it is better left unquestioned that. You know, if he wanted to sell it, there you can just look on the internet. Here's how to sell it. Have a launch party. Take these other steps. Perhaps that's not really what he really wanted. Perhaps he just wanted to be with the book.
Have any of you ever had a difficult conversation, or has someone ever pulled you aside to have a difficult conversation?
Yes.
Okay. Cool.
Constantly. I mean, I'm probably the wrong person to do that with. Mark, maybe this happens to you every now and then. Like, even when I'm on like an airplane, I'm just trying to be nice to the person next to me. They're like, oh, what do you do? And I'm like, I'm an academic philosopher. And everybody has their own idea of what that is, but they all want to tell you what that is and also want to know what you think about some weirdly personal, intimate stuff that like I don't need to know about, but then also I'm just a helpful human being. So yeah, the only thing I found that is useful is to ask people what their goals are, what outcomes they hoped for, and try to figure out whether or not the things they're doing are going to bring about those outcomes, or are even likely to bring about those outcomes, or if they've even identified what they're trying to do. You would be amazed how many people have not even identified, like, what is your end goal here?
I'd say more so than not.
it's surprising. And people will pursue these things with like fervor and adamancy and just like not see an end state or a progression or any way to advance further, like live better. I don't know. We spend a lot of time doing things that are useless and counterproductive. It's very awkward.
I mean, is that humanity? I mean, are we saying, that?
I certainly hope not. Oh my goodness.
Got to bring your philosopher's toolkit and then you can solve everybody's problems.
Okay.
The thing is, you don't want to wait for people to ask you what you do for a living. You just got to tell them, hey, you know what? I'm wise. If you got any issues, I can probably solve them right now. I can break them down into their component parts.
If you're using the wrong conduits, I'll let you know.
Mm-hmm. If you have draped the wires over the barrels, we can get that fixed right away.
Yeah, I address the problems that are underlying the situation maybe a little bit, but nobody wants to hear that. So I'm not anyone's favorite person. And when people find out I'm married, they're like, that guy. Oh my God, that poor guy. Because the rigor doesn't really go away in my personal life. So there will be little things, dish left in a weird spot. I will want to interrogate that. Why is this here? What's happened? Who thought this was a good idea? Was this really how you wanted to wake up in the morning? Right? So maybe that's just me being an awful human being, but hopefully it's applicable and adequately philosophical.
Chris and Bill, is there a similar incursion of your improv into your your personal relations such that you maybe get a talking to about it occasionally?
I'm not sure I have experienced anything like that in a very long time. I'll say I've done probably a pretty good job in my life of self-sorting into circles where people are not hostile to improv vibes. I met my wife at a workshop. A lot of my friends still do improv quite regularly. Most of the ones who don't did at some point. So I was trying to think, when was the last time I had a hard conversation? And I was coming up with a bit of a blank, so I guess I'm leading an exemplary life.
Well, perhaps looking toward the future, this wedding that's coming up, for instance, when you have to give the speech, there's room for mayhem. Mayhem could enter into it. And then, you give them something to remember.
All right.
I mean, you could ask your sister if what she's doing is really going to bring about the outcome she wants. Don't do that. That's a mean move. Don't you do that.
I was just going to say, I can pick up both the top line event that she is having a ceremony and the underlying things, the character traits, both would direct me to not challenge her choices in a fiance.
Well, it seems like your actions are goal-directed then.
Well, I was going to say, you have a lot of people who get involved with improv, do classes and things, who maybe they do want to be good. They do want to dip their toe in the water of a possible, entertainment career in the broadest sense of the word. The idea that there is, for every one person you see with an enviable job, there's 100, 1,000 people with entertainment adjacent jobs that are out there. But then they get into class and they realize maybe they're not the most charismatic person. There are a lot of people who there's some pretty basic stagecraft stuff that maybe they just look uncomfortable on stage. They're acting, and it doesn't take much, but there's some things that are missing that are just plainly obvious from a teacher that I then have to say, just so you know, I know you were trying to be a caring father in that scene, but your icy cool demeanor made you look horrible and betrayed everything that was that you were going for. And some people have difficulty taking that.
Yeah, I've got a question for you. Do you, in teaching, have a point at which you will tell a student that what they're doing doesn't seem likely to produce an outcome that they're going to be satisfied with?
Well, they may not like my answer. They may not accept my answer.
But do you reach that point where you'll endeavor to have that conversation? Or is that just not a call you feel like you can make?
I think maybe you're being a little simplistic here, Cole. If this whole with outcomes that you want,
yeah, that's me. I'm basic.
Do we even know what are we even aware of all the possible good outcomes? Is it possible that we get the outcome we don't want or don't think we want, but in doing so, we find a new outcome that we're even happier with?
I mean, it's certainly possible. Is it likely?
I don't know.
I don't encounter this in my academic career because I teach a like 100 level course. And I really do believe everybody can come around to adopting a more critical posture, and it will improve everyone's lives. But there are times when trying to just discuss this sort of basic, I'll call it, critical posture and self-critical, where I do want to say, like, your actions are, this isn't going to end the way you want it to. And this effort would be better invested elsewhere. And I've never been able to bring myself to do that, which is maybe why I failed so much with that sketch. Because it seems like it's brutal, even though it might be kinder or more honest or more productive, realistically. You know, philosophers notoriously make the worst partners. And I tried to find somebody in my own field so that I wouldn't, you know, impose this on anyone else. And let me tell you, we should just be alone. we should all just be alone. I'm sorry to any other philosophers hearing this, but it definitely invades all aspects of our lives. So I'm plagued with how to adopt this socially.
Sure, sure. Now, I expected you kids to be much better behaved this afternoon. There seemed like there was a lot of arguing. There's a lot of criticism, really harmful words that I was hearing between you. What do you think was going on? How can we work through this?
Well, Mr. Wilkins, maybe if you didn't schedule quizzes on the Friday before a 3-day weekend, we wouldn't be mean to each other. Boom.
Do the rest of you agree? This is my fault. This is the environment that has pitted you against each other? Or is there something actually going on? I think the amount of profanity that I heard out of all three of your mouths is not explained by the fact that, there was a quiz.
Well, there's a quiz in a 3-day weekend. You can't leave half of it out. The 3-day weekend.
It was the quiz, and there was like the 3-day weekend. And I'll be honest, I think the bullshit, the bullcrap about having to get rid of the mascot, that's bullcrap to me.
Okay, that's not really relevant to trigonometry.
Well, you were asking what was going on with me, and I'm telling you, and you asked a question, I gave an answer, like, add it up. Sorry.
It seems like you guys are having a little trouble compartmentalizing, that this is a sacred place for mathematics, the pure thought. This is the time where all that outside stuff goes away, and you can just be pure beings of reason and focus.
Yeah, sorry for not being a robot. Sorry, I can't just switch that off.
Our lives are
happening.
Mathematics is impersonal. Mathematics is pure form. It is beauty. Have I not drawn? We were doing the cosine exercise. Did you not feel some chills?
Oh, look, I know that that's like your thing, but you have to understand, like, I'm just trying to like get enough of a passing grade to play. All right. And you know that. And I think I came in here and you said to me, you're smart enough for trig. And like, I think that was misleading because I've had to try a lot harder than like, I didn't have to take trig.
I don't want to try this hard either. It's too much work. Why'd you tell us to take your class?
It's not even, once you get past the entryway, it's not even work. It's like it'll fill you.
This is like my hardest class.
With such energy, with such joy. It's, you know, compared to what you do out on the field. I mean, I'm not going to, you're an impressive athlete, I understand. But you gotta wake your mind up. If it's just your body out there, that's you being a robot. That's you going through the motions. Here is where your soul can come alive.
I wasn't a robot. I was a cheetah. And now I found out that is disrespectful to the endangered cheetahs. And we might end up robots. We like literally might be the West Bend robots next year. Nobody knows.
It's what he's trying to do to us. It's what he's trying to do to us. He's trying to make us.
Were you behind this?
Robots.
Did you want to make us a robot?
I see what you're doing. That's why you gave us that quiz, so we couldn't have any fun.
Yeah. You want the school mascot to be the robot. It all makes sense.
I didn't have anything
to
do.
It's all coming together.
With this, I take no interest in what the school mascot is. I mean, I think when it's changed a few times over the years from various disgusting ethnic stereotypes, I'm not sure why cheetah was not good enough, but I understand some students found that offensive.
How else do you explain everything that you've done? You told us all to take your class. You knew it was too hard. You knew we were fuck-ups. You knew it. I'm not apologizing for swearing. You knew this. You gave us a quiz after a three-day weekend. You chose this. You did this.
Yeah.
We just were ourselves. We just did what we wanted.
I'm rescinding my bull craps, and those are all bullshits now.
Yeah, give them back.
Welcome to the youth of today. Teach.
Anarchy!
All right, I think there's some spirit here that could be harnessed. I want you just to think of
you don't want to harness spirit. You want to kill all our spirit, our school spirit, our like math spirit. Like, I already met my math requirements. Like, why am I here?
I want my spirit wild and free. I don't want to harness it for your purposes and your ends. I have my own purposes and ends.
Maybe you can't be a cheetah out on the field, but you can be a cheetah here in my class. Your mind can race like the fastest animal, and it's just in your mind, so nobody can even say that's offensive. It's when you say that out loud, that's when it actually gets offensive, when you, use... I don't even want to repeat those words you were using before.
Okay, hotshot math teacher. What does math have to do with throwing footballs?
You're really asking that? Let's look at the board. If you throw a football, what you got to look at the angle of you're throwing the football. This is how you compute where it's going to get to. You have
He said computer. He's trying to make us a computer.
Yeah. No, I don't believe that math and athletics have anything to do with one another, and you can't convince me.
The speed with which you run, have you thought about how to to increase your speed, the rate of increase, how you measure your progress athletically? There's endless applications.
I'm not seeing it. Are you guys seeing it? I'm not seeing it.
Hey, Chris, could you throw a football last year and score 28 touchdowns in the over the season?
I could.
Before you knew trig, could you still throw a football?
Yeah, I could. I don't think this has changed anything for the better. I don't think this is helping me achieve my goals.
I think that whatever you might do through native talent and grit can always be improved by unearthing, realizing, analyzing what you were doing, how a successful pass was successful. If you can do an analysis of the arc of that particular pass, then you can repeat it. It's not just luck. It's not just a one-time thing, a burst of energy. It becomes a science. You become a master over your own life.
Native talent, really? Gross. You're canceled. That's horrible, man. That's horrible. Wow.
Shame on you.
Bullshit.
Is this what you wanted?
The natives are very talented.
Wow.
Just sit down. We're going to take the quiz again. And you're going to do it right this time. Let's stop that before there's a... Okay, Bill, I thought I was being a parent or something after a long day, but that was a twist.
We changed it on you.
Making me figure out math and come up with math examples as part of an improv.
That was mean because that's everything you said is so true. And I love math, and it is the most abstract, beautiful thing in the world. And like, my soul was singing. Like, this is all exactly correct.
As you said earlier, is it possible that you're wrong? And what might that look like, Cole? And can you take on the opposite point of view?
Is it possible that math cannot describe the line of a football through the air?
I think we can describe it perfectly.
I think there was room.
Are you sure?
I think there was room, Cole, for your character to either have been be a convert, that you actually, you know, that my inspiring speech gets through to you, or that in fact you are on my, you are a plant, you are on my side all the time. These jocks were very set in their ways. I feel like your character, there was some wiggle room there.
There's a lot of sports with you guys too. I don't do sports ball. There's so much of it.
I don't know no sports.
It's not for what it's worth,
that teacher did get through to that student on the beauty of math, but he was so annoyed at that point, he just denied him the satisfaction.
That's, yeah.
How very human.
I also like that I'm a guy in all of these who play sports, which is, this is a lot to take on. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I can accept that and just mm-hmm. shout anarchy. And actually, you know, I do in my teaching kind of get to live out the fantasies I had as a wild little undergrad who didn't want to do any homework and didn't. I mean, I was essentially a frat boy. So I was a philosophy frat boy, but
okay.
A good version of it.
They know their Greek letters, those philosophers.
Yeah. Callback.
Indeed, the they Greek do. Yeah. Far better than I do. But no, when a student asks me why we're doing something or what the point of it is, if I can't give them a good answer, that's a point for them. Good at them for questioning this and coming at it and challenging it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that doesn't happen very often, but I like to let that bird fly free. So I guess that was the route I took.
Well, I think maybe we should wrap up this this gathering of the Veda Upsilon Ouch. That's the frat that we have created just today with the four of us.
Sure.
Bill, do you want to tell us more explicitly? I mean, it seems like you were...
I was pretty explicit.
Okay.
I was pretty explicit.
But we'll recap.
Well, the idea that any story, what element of the story holds on to the story's identity. And it's easy to see the plot. It's easy to see the premise. And it can be hard to see that it actually might be the people involved in the story that define it and give it some shape. Certainly, Mark, your love of math above and beyond, it wasn't a functional teacher. It wasn't like you needed this to graduate. It's just, you know, I mean, shut up and do it, you know?
Well, that's how it turned at the end. That was the fallback position.
Certainly who you were and this whole wanting to inspire everybody drove us and drove the scene. And that's independent of calling the students out to have a little discussion, you know? And you know, we forget that sometimes. It's easy to forget that we are living gross creatures with wet, soggy bits and weird things and brains that are jelly and whatnot.
You're canceled, Bill. You're making me uncomfortable with your gross talk.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that character was wise enough to change strategy at the end and try something different to bring about the outcome that he wanted.
Chris, as the co-improv instructor here, do you have anything to supplement what Bill was just saying?
Yeah, well, I mean, I just agree with Bill's point that we have any number of things that we're taking cues from at any given time to, you know, make sense of the world around us, many of which would be very hard to quantify if we had to, like, write them down, present them as a proof. And it's often the vagaries and the emergent properties that end up being the most definitive ones.
That was fantastic.
So philosophically, I knew when Cole, you know, had suggested this idea of the Philosopher's Toolkit that we were not going to actually talk about Bayes' theorem or reductio ad absurdum or particular logical techniques or whatever. But I think that it was in the emails
that I have not seen
the idea of, do we need a toolkit or how, you know, how could this improve your life? How could making things explicit, so pretty much exactly what I was saying in the last scene. Like, that is what having a toolkit, having a way of converting, being a little more like a computer and less like, you know, an animal that just does what it does. That's the sort of the whole point of philosophy is to gain a level of self-understanding. And so a philosopher's toolkit would just be a very explicit, particularly nerdy way to make, oh, are you sure that what you just said there actually makes sense? Are you sure that it aligns with all of your goals? Yeah, Cole, can you build on that?
I mean, absolutely. And it doesn't just have to be the goal-directed activity. That's where I went because I think it's useful and works in the amount of time we have. But also, maybe you guys feel differently, but I think most people want to go through life with more true beliefs and fewer false beliefs or misconceptions. And there is a methodology that you can develop that produces more likely than not true beliefs. So you're operating in reality, in the reality that we share, not just a segregated sort of delusion. And hopefully your actions can have a greater impact when you do that. And yes, you are more likely to achieve your ends. But the methodology, boring though it is, I think is exciting in action. Yes, it always means slowing down a bit and not just reflecting on what other people say and the arguments you receive, but reflecting on your own assumptions a lot and asking yourself, could I be mistaken?
All right, we got our lessons out on the table. Chris, start off. Which lesson? We it's a committee now. We get to vote. Which lesson is the more powerful? Is the one that is going to shake the earth between the philosophy and the improv today, Chris?
I'm not going to shock anyone today. I'm going to say the improv lesson. I'm going to say that I feel like that is what, for me at least, was when I look back at what happened in those scenes and when we made something happen and when we found something, it was what we talked about. It was the harder to define moments, something that wouldn't have shown up on the bullet point story of what was going on in the scene.
Cole, what is your take on this today's round?
I mean, so this is the area that I've kind of devoted my life to. It's not my area of specialization. That's way more bullet pointed and boring. But I've chosen that because I think it has maybe truly, I'm worried about offending philosophers here, of all the things in philosophy that have an ability to change people's lives immediately and directly, I think this has the greatest capacity. And I mean, until you've argued your way out of a ticket with a cop, maybe you don't really feel what this analytic capacity could do for you. Or maybe I'm just blind to, you know, the fact that the cop wanted to go home. But even like that level of self-doubt and self-criticism and reflective capacity is so priceless to me. There is no way I think concerning ourselves with characters comes out on top. I think philosophy wins.
All right, split decision so far. Bill, what's your thought?
Well, I'm going to tempt fate here, Mark. Normally, I'd blindly vote party line, you know that, without even second guessing, and then come up with a fantastic thing on the fly about why it was the right move. I'm going to go with philosophy today, only because I have been doing some substitute school teaching, working with these kids, and boy, some of them, the recalcitrance, the pig-headedness. Did I say that out loud? I shouldn't. I really shouldn't. But like trying to just get them to like, y'all, you're in your own way here. You see how you're in your own way? All I'm asking you to do is write your name on top of the paper. This, you should be thankful that that's all that Mr. Bill's asking you to do.
Oh no, Mr. Bill. Is that, does that
no one
up?
Gets that. No.
They're no. Too young.
Nope. By a mile. So I'm going to tempt fate here, Mark. Don't bite the hand that feeds you here. And I'm going to say philosophy.
Well, we're going to end with a split decision because as much as I appreciate what Cole was trying to bring to the table, I don't think that we succeeded in getting enough of it into this conversation so that you people who are not familiar with it and the listeners actually know what the hell the Philosopher's Toolkit amounts to, other than being analytical about stuff, which, you know, is very general. So I'm going to say that the improv lesson you were trying to teach is something that I need to work at, something that I feel like in the first scene, I didn't know what the hell my character was, other than it was being, you know, my normal kind of idiot who can't understand puns or whatever, but that's not a character. So I feel like that is the thing that I most needed to hear today. So we're going to just end with a split decision. I know that's going to cause riots, but people can make their own decisions.
Well, have me back and we'll try again. I'll bring some more bullet points.
Well, thank you so much to both of you for returning.
Yeah, thanks, y'all.
Thank you.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks to the listeners.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
If you enjoyed this, get more at philosophyimprov.com. If you're hearing this on the Partially Examined Life feed, please go subscribe directly to the Philosophy vs. Improv podcast so you won't miss any episodes.
And you'll see our whole back catalog of episodes in that feed. While you are on the Apple Podcasts site subscribing, please leave a nice rating and review of this podcast. Better yet, avoid all the ads. Hear our post-game discussions for nearly every episode and experience the video for this and most other recent episodes at patreon.com/philosophyimprov. Thanks so much for listening. Bankrupt! Bankrupt! Bankrupt!